Good afternoon, everybody. This is a continuation of the September 21st, 2017 City Council afternoon session. With regard to decorum, I just want to remind everybody about council rules. When people testify, let's all be respectful of everybody, whether you agree with them or not. And that's it. If you could please read the first item. I'm sorry, the first two items. Thanks.
Item 1045, consider the proposal of Sarah Radlett of Strata Land Use Planning and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval to change the comprehensive plan map designation from low-density multi-dwelling to neighborhood commercial and the zoning map designation from residential 2000 to neighborhood commercial 1 for property at 5901 Southeast Belmont Street, LU16-292724 CPZC, and 1046. Amend the comprehensive plan map designation and amend the zoning map for property at 5901 Southeast Belmont Street at the request of Sarah Radlett, Strata Land Use Planning, LU16-292724 CPZC.
Awesome. All right. First, the city attorney is going to make some announcement about today's hearing.
Yes. So forgive me. It's long. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means that you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. For council consideration of a hearings officer's recommendation on a comprehensive plan map amendment, testimony will be heard as follows. We begin with a staff report by BDS staff. Following the staff report, City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal, and each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal, and again, each person will have 3 minutes to speak. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have five additional minutes to rebut the testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. This is a non-emergency ordinance. As a non-emergency ordinance, it will pass to a second reading. The council may then make a recommendation, make amendments to the ordinance and findings, or direct staff to return with amendments. I'd like to announce several guidelines for those who will be addressing the City Council today. For submitting evidence into the record, any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Testimony must be directed at the approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, or evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. Issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you will be precluded from appealing the issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. And finally, applicants must identify constitutional challenges to the conditions of approval. If an applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval, sufficiently to allow counsel to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. And that is it.
Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No members of the council have declared a conflict of interest. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare our information gathered outside of these hearings to disclose? No council members have ex parte contacts to declare. Have any members of the council made any visits to the site involved in this matter?
I'm sure I've been there sometime, but not recently and not to evaluate this proposal.
Does anyone present in the council chambers wish to ask Commissioner Fritz about her observations on the site? Seeing none, do any council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the hearing? Nobody does. So with that, we'll start with testimony of the staff. Staff report, 10 minutes, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Amanda Rhodes. I'm the assigned staff who will be the assigned planner who will be presenting hearings officer Joe Turner's recommendations to you today. The owner, Aaron Tinkle, and the applicant, Sarah Radelay of Strata Land Use Planning, are requesting a comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendment for the site at 5901 Southeast Belmont Street. The applicant requests to change the comprehensive plan map designation for this roughly 6,500 square foot site from low density multi-dwelling to neighborhood commercial, and change the zoning map designation from R2, or multi-dwelling residential 2000, to CN1, or neighborhood commercial 1. Allowed uses under the new zone would include office, retail, sales and service, household living, institutional, and other uses in limited quantities. The applicant is proposing to develop a dental office that is larger than the current one. He operates two doors down, and he can speak more about that. First, I'm going to show you the current zoning map. Again, the site is zoned R2. It's adjacent to a strip of R2 along Belmont Street there. And R5, a single dwelling zone, is located to the north. There is a small cluster of CN1 zoning immediately to the east. The site is currently developed with a single dwelling residence, and the maximum density for the property is 3 units. This is what the zoning map would look like if approved. The subject site would be zoned CN1, along with continuing that node, one property further to the west. Here's an aerial view of that intersection showing the commercial zoning on either side of 60th, both CN1 and then CO1, or office commercial 1, a large chunk of which is vacant currently. There are a number of apartment buildings in the area, mostly with the white roofs there. And then in the southeast corner is a skilled nursing facility that's operating as a conditional use in the R5 zone. This closer-up view shows the subject site in blue and then the other four properties that were involved in a 2013 subdivision with 3 new houses in the R5 zone there at the north end. The result of this subdivision is that there is a private street tract which effectively separates any proposed commercial uses on the subject site from the neighboring residential. To the west, it's about 25 feet, and to the north, 31 feet, that separation. I'm going to just walk through a few photos of the area. Again, these are the 5 properties of that subdivision. The subject site is on the right there, the 3 new houses in the back, and we're looking at that private street tract. And then moving to the east, the subject site's just a little bit available or visible on the left there, and this is a medical clinic immediately adjacent. And then on the left here is the owner's current dental office, and then the corner building was a pharmacy, and now it's a chiropractic center and an office use. Crossing 60th, we've got the rest of the commercial development, the vacant lot, and then an older commercial building, and then to the south is that skilled nursing facility. And on the other corner in the southwest, we've got a mixture of houses and duplexes. So I'm going to review the approval criteria quickly and summarize the findings of the hearings officer's recommendation. First, the comprehensive plan map amendment approval criteria. The first requires that we demonstrate that on balance, the proposal is equally or more supportive of the comprehensive plan as a whole than the old designation. In this case, the hearings officer reviewed the different goals of the comprehensive plan and found that they were on balance equally or more supportive. That includes goals around urban development, economic development, neighborhoods, transportation, and more. Goal 1 is metropolitan coordination, and that required a review of Metro's urban growth functional management plan, and the hearings officer found that the proposal was consistent with the titles of that plan as well. The second criterion looked at the statewide land use planning goals, and largely the city's comprehensive plan reflects the topic areas that you see in the statewide land use planning goals. The state has acknowledged the city's comprehensive plan, and therefore the proposal was found to also be consistent with the statewide land use planning goals. The third criterion comes into play because we're looking at a residential site converting to a commercial site, and there's a requirement that you mitigate for so that there's no net loss in potential housing units. And there are a number of ways that the code allows to do this. In this case, the applicant chose to make an agreement with a developer of housing in the EX zone elsewhere in Southeast Portland, where there is no housing required to be built. And so the owner of that property designated three units to mitigate for the potential lost housing on the subject site. And there's a there is a covenant in the record that shows that this will remain residential. These three units will remain residential for at least 60 years, which is well over the required 25 years that the zoning code asks for. So the hearings officer agreed that that criterion was also met. Moving to the zoning map amendment criteria, the first one looks at the comprehensive plan map designation and the any other corresponding zones that could also be applied to the site. And in this case, we've got two. We've got CN1 and we've got CN2, both of which are relatively low-intensity commercial zones, both designated for small sites and designed to be compatible in scale with surrounding residential development. The CN2 zone is designed more for auto-oriented locations in less dense or developing residential neighborhoods. Because this area is more of a streetcar kind of suburb design and has good access to transit, apartment buildings, a little bit denser development, the CN1 zone was found to be the most appropriate out of the two. And then the second approval criterion is around adequate public services and whether our public services could accommodate the development potential on the site with the change. And those public services are everything from police and fire protection, water supply and capacity, stormwater and sanitary systems, and the transportation system. And all the bureaus reported that, yes, they could handle with the current public services, they could accommodate the limited development that would be allowed on this small site with the new zoning. We received no written responses to the public notice and no testimony at the hearing with the hearings officer, aside from the applicant. The applicant did include a letter of support from the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association, which went in depth talking about how residential density in the area is increasing, but they're not seeing a corresponding increase in the number of commercial properties. They really value having commercial services provided locally in these little commercial nodes, and therefore they support the zone change of this property. So the hearings officer recommendation was approval of both the comprehensive plan map amendment and the zoning map amendment with no conditions.
Very good.
To take your questions.
Any questions? Very good. The applicant, you have up to 15 minutes should you choose to use it. Carla, they get 15. Sorry. Thank you.
Sarah Radelay, Strata Land Use Planning. We are in support of the hearings officer's recommendation of approval for this project, and I just wanted to turn it over to the property owner to talk a little bit about his history in the neighborhood and his experience is going to the Neighborhood Association.
Very good.
So my name is Dr. Aaron Tinkle, and in 2009, I bought a dental office from Dr. James Rademacher, and he was a second-generation dentist in that office. It's been an office for at 5935 Southeast Belmont, so two doors to the east. It's been a dental office since 1950, and I've had the privilege of being a member of the neighborhood and having their full support, and we've grown 700% in 7 years, which is awesome. So I have an enviable problem of having a lot of patients who need me and not enough space to serve them. And so I started looking for commercial properties in that neighborhood because I think it's a very special neighborhood. I think that's part of the success, and my style and attitude towards healthcare in the neighborhoods tends to gel well. I'm a sponsor of all the schools. I mean, that's my marketing and advertising. It tends to work pretty well. But anyway, I found several different commercial properties, and they're all being turned into giant apartment buildings, and so my limited funds, I lost out on every one of them when it came to that. So I saw a post in the ground at this site, 5901, and before the sign was up, I was like, I've got to have that, because I thought this could be a potential. I then hired a land use attorney to look into, is this even possible to change the zoning? He gave me about a 25% chance. And I said, oh, I've had well worse chances in my life. So I'm definitely an optimist. So I went to a neighborhood association meeting before I actually signed on the dotted line and said, is this something you guys would support so I can, you know, treat more of you? And they thought it was a great idea. They were actually flattered that I'd even come and ask, because if I'm good, the last thing I want to do is upset a portion of the neighborhood, because that's, you know, my business. So through three and actually I think it's four meetings, they ended up signing the letter of support. And in fact, I went door to door on the neighbors who are adjacent to it, and all of them didn't have any questions or concerns. Two of them are very big supporters of mine, pretty excited about it. So with that support, if this was able to be changed, I'm able to employ three more people in my office. I'm able to employ another dentist, and I should be able to have about a 50% growth in the practice size. Any of the issues haven't been brought up, and I'm just really excited if it does work out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope a lot of other people are watching and know that that's how you build community support, is both by being a good community member and also to go to the folks who are most affected to ask for their support. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. So we'll hear now, if that concludes your remarks, we'll hear now from supporters of the applicants, 3 minutes each.
No one else signed up.
Very good. Opponents of the applicants, 3 minutes each.
No one signed up on that list either.
And therefore, there is no need for a rebuttal by the applicant. Council discussion.
Sounds like a great project.
Very good.
I'm surprised though that the attorney said only 25%. It seems kind of like a no-brainer yes. So that's also something that people should check with development services rather than an attorney.
Very good.
Sorry. The city attorney's like, oh, no.
it wasn't advice I was giving, so that's fine.
Okay, very good. Then I would move that we close the record.
Second.
Good. All in favor, or please call the roll.
So, and this is a non-emergency, so it'll be a tentative vote, and then they'll come back and adopt findings.
Very good. Can I get a motion to close? We have a motion to close the record.
It's a motion to approve the hearings officer's
recommendation. I'll take that. Very good. Okay, good. And we have a second for that. Commissioner Udaly?
Yes, I'll second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaly to accept the hearings officer recommendation. This is a tentative vote. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz.
I wish they were all this pleasant, and good luck to a new business. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The hearings officer's recommendation is upheld. The final vote for this will be when?
So there are actually, because there are two pieces, and this is just strange about comp plan amendments, so what you just voted on was accepting the hearings officer's recommendation, and now you need to vote on item 1046 to amend the comp plan.
Please call the roll.
Vote on 1046, even though it's a non-emergency,
it'll be the same thing, a tentative vote, and then they can come back together with a date and time certain to vote on.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to Amanda Rhodes and the BDS team for your usual good work. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment to the comprehensive plan map is tentatively approved, so we'll come back when for the final vote.
Do we need a time certain?
Yes, but it can just be 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long agenda item.
I've got 10:50 a.m. on the 27th.
10:50 a.m. on the 27th of September. So the final vote on this hearing will be at 10:50 a.m. time certain on September 27th. We are adjourned. Thank you.
I wish they were all that simple.
I know.